everybody. I'm Amy Scott. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday, February 9th. Kai and Kimberly are both out today, so you're stuck with me and the one and only Nova Sappho. Hi, Nova.
What a great person to be stuck with. Hi, Amy. Thanks for joining us on the podcast and on the YouTube live stream. It's Friday, and that means it's time for Economics on Tap, the weekly happy hour episode, my favorite time of the week.
Indeed. I feel like we earned it this week. So today we're going to do some news, of course, and we'll take a break and then play a round of half full, half empty. But before we get into it, Nova, what are you drinking?
All right. This is from a winery in Sonoma Valley here in California, a winery called Letson. And it is a first blush rosé wine gifted to me by a friend and colleague John Beers from the previous shop where I worked, Agence France-Presse. I got it almost a year ago for my birthday. Thank you, John. And I'm drinking it now, and it's delicious.
Well, that's nice. So you're not of the opinion that rosé is only for summer. I guess if you're in LA, you can kind of drink it
whenever. It's always summer. It's always rosé time in California.
Yeah. Did you feel that earthquake, by the way? Are you close enough?
I'm not in the LA area, so no, I did not.
Oh, where are you?
But I'm in the Central Valley, in the central part of California, in the agriculture land at the moment. I did, though, see the tech conversations back and forth among our colleagues who were a little...
Some were rattled.
Yeah.
And others were...
They were a little rattled. I thought it was hilarious. It was a four-pointer.
Well, it sounds like nobody was hurt, so that's good.
I mean, it was a 4.6, I think, on the
I guess to you Californians, that's
nothing. That's not
something
to be rattled by. Yeah, no.
Well,
what are you drinking?
I would have been rattled. So I'm drinking a version of something called Norwegian 75, and this was inspired by my mom, who this summer went to Norway and Sweden and Finland, and she brought back some cloudberry jam. And so I was like, oh, that, you know, I know people make cocktails with jam, so what can I make with this? And so this is a mix of aquavit and vodka. I'm going to take it slow. It's a little boozy.
Ooh, that looks
beautiful. It's supposed to be lemon juice, but I only had lime. And then instead of champagne, I used some dry cider. So it's kind of like a riff on the Norwegian 75. So we'll see.
That is a complicated drink. I'm impressed.
For a Friday on deadline? Absolutely.
How is it?
Channeling Kimberly Adams.
Yeah.
Right? She's
that's a lot of ingredients.
Hers are often complex and lovely.
By the way, 10 points on that glass. That's a...
Oh, thank you.
Glass.
Yeah. It's actually like a champagne
Very
bowl.
Fancy.
From a local Baltimore shop. All right, so let's see on the YouTube chat what folks are drinking. Let's see. We've got someone says cloudberries are awesome, as are lingonberries and aquavit. Skull, indeed. Let's see. A lot of earthquake talk. Someone's drinking dragon's milk, maybe in honor of the year of the dragon. That would be cool.
What's dragon's milk?
We've got cookies and popcorn, the Friday afternoon snack of champions. Sounds awesome. And I think we've got a birthday in the chat. Hmm? Debbie Donovan, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Debbie. Thanks for spending it with us.
All right, should we get to this? Yeah, absolutely. Should we get to some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you want to go first?
Sure. So Janet Yellen was in Capitol Hill 2 days out of this week. Tuesday, she testified at a House Banking Committee hearing, Finance Committee hearing, and yesterday at a Senate Banking Committee hearing. And she didn't necessarily make any huge news, but she said what a lot of people have been thinking and anticipating, which is that we still have some ways to go to get out of the kind of commercial real estate loan, what's the word, quicksand?
Situation, that's the one. That's the one Kai and I were joking about yesterday,
were
or
you?
2 days ago.
Yeah. Were you guys talking about this?
Well, we talked about a little bit about the flashback to about a year ago when we were calling the regional banking thing, not a crisis, but a situation. So, yeah.
Right. And so we're kind of coming to the 1 year of that. And we just had a minor freak out on Wall Street having to do with, what was that? New York Community Bank, which came out in about, what, 8 days ago or so and said, by the way, our loan losses and the provisions we're setting aside are bigger than we expected. They said one-time events, unusual events, but they had to do with commercial real estate. And so investors panicked. They've lost more than half of their stock value. They had to come out, I think, on Wednesday and say, the bank, we have enough capital. But anytime a bank has to come out and say that, of course, is very bad news for that bank, even if it's true, because banking is all about trust in that institution and its ability to give you money when you need it. Right. So in any case, so it's almost sounding like a minor repeat. And what Yellen said this week at both at the House and Senate is she doesn't think there is a systemic risk to the financial system as a whole, which is good news. But she said she does think we're not out of the woods, and the smaller banks are definitely not out of the woods. So there could still be plenty of losses at smaller institutions. Could more need to be absorbed by others, by larger institutions? Who knows? But they're definitely not out of the woods yet. And one thing she pointed to, which I thought was really interesting, is she pointed to non-bank mortgage lenders. So these are companies like, well, I'm naming these companies just because they are these mortgage lenders, not necessarily that they have this exposure. So I just want to make that clear. But, you know, Rocket Mortgage, Guaranteed Rate, these are non-bank mortgage lenders. You can go there, get a mortgage. A lot of people do. I've used Guaranteed Rate in the past. The question is whether the types of these lenders that may have exposure to too much of the wrong kind of mortgages could end up in trouble because they don't have access to the same kind of capital and resources from the Fed, for example, that regular banks do in times of stress. So right. Yellen pointed to those specifically and said, we could see some trouble in that part of it. But again, not a systemic level of trouble. At least that's not what they are anticipating.
Yeah. Well, and so far the markets have kind of shrugged this off. Am I right? I mean, it doesn't seem to be sparking the kind of contagion or fear that we saw almost a year ago. But something to watch for sure.
It isn't sparking the same kind of contagion, but we are definitely have seen some regional bank stocks take a hit.
Yeah.
In addition to New York Community Bank, we've seen shares come down a bit. But yes, we are not seeing that kind of panicked bank run, basically a digital bank run that we saw last year, having to do with, you know, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature.
All right.
What do you
got? Switching gears, just to talk about the labor force, the Wall Street Journal broke down data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics about the makeup of various professions by gender and race. And they have these really handy charts, very colorful. It's fun to look at. But there's some really striking differences or disparities in the labor force, even beyond what I think some of the stereotypes are. So let's start with gender. This data is still binary, male or female. There's not the nuance that some might like to see. But overall, the workforce was roughly 47% women in 2023, 53% men. But some professions are really skewed toward one or the other. So we know education and particularly early childhood education has long been dominated by women. But Nova, if you had to guess what percentage of preschool and kindergarten teachers are women, what do you think it would be?
I mean, from my experience, although that was a while ago, I don't know, like 70, 80%.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, it's actually 96.7%.
Wow.
I know, it's really striking.
That's crazy.
I have to say, my kids had a couple of male teachers, so they were the outliers, apparently. So I knew that was high, but I was really surprised by that. But that's not even the highest percentage. 99% of skincare specialists are women. And I think this is more of a cosmetic job, like not dermatologists, but people who do body treatments, face care and stuff like that. So maybe not that surprising. Legal secretaries and administrative assistants, 96.4% female. Dental hygienists, almost 96%. Speech language pathologists, 94%. As the journal says in its article, there are sociology textbooks to be written or worth of explanations for these numbers. Yeah. We're not going to go into that here, but I definitely recommend checking this out. It's pretty interesting. And there are also some stark racial and ethnic disparities. Of course, professions that are dominated by men. There are, though, a couple that are sort of balanced according to the makeup of the workforce. And the professions that reflect the overall racial and ethnic makeup of the workforce were hairdressers and cosmologists, payroll and timekeeping clerks, and human resource managers. So there you go.
Human resource managers. The HR folks have got it figured out, which is good.
They've got it somewhat in balance. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there are many marketplace stories to be done about the data in this story.
That is interesting. Did it talk at all about how the data might have changed over the years, if at all?
Not in this story, but that would be really interesting to see. Yeah, because the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, tracks all this stuff, so you could do some interesting comparisons.
It reminds me of when I was a kid, right? I mean, you do face well-meaning but kind of pervasive signals of what boys are supposed to grow up to do and what girls are supposed to grow up to. And I think if we've gotten better over the decades of trying to counteract that and be aware of it and maybe try to avoid those kinds of signals at kids, but it's still there, I think.
And obviously some of this is about choice and who you know and what you know is available to you, what might be an easier position for a working mother, for example, to take. I think not too. All of this is that sort of bias we all grow up with. But yeah, I mean, the construction industry, I've done a lot of stories about how they're trying to get more women into the field. In this data, so last year, 99% of construction equipment operators were men. Almost as many pipe layers, masons, bus and truck mechanics, and loggers. So there's clearly work to do if we want these workforces to be more diverse and make these often very well-paid jobs available to more women.
Yeah, for example, in the construction industry, being a tradesperson, not a tradesman, a tradesperson.
There you go.
So there you go, right? With like specific skills, like electrician is highly prized, and pays well, very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially these days. Especially in California, where
in demand.
You know, we cannot build enough homes. Yeah. Indeed. And now we're building a high-speed rail line, and we've hired tens of thousands of workers to get that done in the Central Valley, for example, here. Yeah. People are – high-skilled labor is very in demand in the construction side right now.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's your line.
Is it? Hang on. I got to find the script. All right. That's it for the news. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return – we'll play a round of half full, half empty. We'll be right back.
All right, we are back, and it's time to play Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by our very own Drew Jostad. Take it away, Drew.
Drew.
All right. Some colleges are bringing back the requirement for the SAT and the ACT scores on your application. Are you half full or half empty?
I missed the story. Had you heard
about it? Yeah. So a lot of colleges had been getting rid of these scores for equity purposes, right? But finding, I think, that grades are not a perfect substitute. There's a lot of variation, of course, in grading, depending on where you go to school, and some schools are bringing it back. I haven't studied enough to figure out how I feel about this. Drew, tell me more. Like, was it Dartmouth? Yeah. I'm trying to remember who did this.
Yeah, the headline this week was Dartmouth College. From what I remember, it's they were hoping that it would help equity in admissions, but it maybe seems to have gone the other way since they made it optional.
Interesting.
The jury's out on whether it helps, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, you know, affirmative action has been challenged, and so colleges are really kind of limited in what they can do to try to increase diversity. So yeah, I guess I'm right down the middle. Is that an option?
It's a tough one, right? Because you want a fair way to assess students across the board around the country, because yes, schools can vary dramatically, and the education folks have gotten can vary dramatically, and the grade systems can vary dramatically. But we know that the SAT especially has been not the best test for a very long time. So the question is, can we get that test improved enough so that it is a fair test and it is a fair assessment of skill and critical thinking, and not just an assessment of who had the money to go to the school that knew how to teach you to the test.
Right. It's less a measure of knowledge than of advantage in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're still trying to figure out a fair way to do college admissions.
That's a toughie. Yeah. But I think I'm half empty until the SATs are a better way of assessing folks.
Good one, Drew. Right. Stump the host.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, wait till you hear this one. Are you half full or half empty on bringing your own takeout boxes when dining out?
Oh my gosh, is that happening?
Wait, what? Empty takeout boxes.
Yeah.
Hopefully right. Washed.
No, that's just...
Tell me more.
Okay, yeah, tell us more.
This was just a piece. I don't know that it's like a statistical trend or something, but it was an opinion piece in Eater advocating for people to try to save plastic and maybe save the restaurant's labor hours of having to stock all those to-go containers for their customers.
All right. Well, I am half full for sure, because even though that sounds like a pain, I have recently learned, Kai and I did an interview on this show a while back about plastics, single-use plastics, and how even if it has a little recycle sign and a number on it, you can't necessarily recycle that plastic. And a lot of it, and that's, you know, mostly the takeout containers are made of this stuff that can't be recycled. And so
Yes. You're
throwing it away, and or if you put it in your recycling, it's still going to get tossed eventually. And so... You know, we know about the harms of all this single-use plastic, so I guess I'm in favor of it. But I'm the kind of person who's like, oh, I forgot the bags at the grocery store. You know, I can see myself not being the best participant in this experiment, but I would like to.
I have to stay half empty. It just seems like bad etiquette. It's bad etiquette. You're showing up somewhere going, you know what? I'm not going to finish this meal because I got to go someplace, and I'm just going to bring this.
It's like if you're ordering takeout, it's not like leftovers.
Oh, I see. Like if you're ordering takeout, that's one thing. But if you're like at a restaurant sitting down, please don't take. I mean, I assume that's what I thought. And I'm like, no, don't do that. That's awful. How about this? If you are sitting at a restaurant and you like order smaller portions, or order one and share. Err on the side of ordering less to start with.
Well,
and
finishing
your meal. Yeah, I thought that's what that was about. But if you're ordering takeout, but even then though, like
no, this is about this is about like doggy. This is about like a doggy.
This is doggy bags,
like,
right?
Yeah.
No, you were right. I was wrong.
No, you can't take that. You can't do that. That is terrible etiquette. Restaurants should definitely not be putting things in unrecyclable containers. That's horrible.
People bring their own coffee mugs to Starbucks. I mean, how is it really different?
Starbucks is a coffee shop. When you're going to a restaurant to a sit-down dinner, it's a different thing. And yeah, order smaller portions. Finish your plate.
How about provide smaller portions? Because there's not
that
usually
too.
An option. Can I just get
right?
half
Which is
an
why
order
you should share.
For full price?
Right.
Yeah.
Or just share a plate, you know?
All right, we better move on.
Yeah, sure.
We're never
this
gonna
is going to get
this.
Heated. On February 19th,
I wonder if we have any comments on that.
Coca-Cola is coming out with a new flavor with raspberry and spice notes. Are you half full or half empty on Coca-Cola Spiced?
Oh, man, I used to love a good cherry Coke. It's not that different. Mm-hmm. I'm half full. Innovate, people. I don't drink pop anyway. And I say pop, so don't at me.
Yeah. I was about to actually at you.
Yeah, I live with someone who constantly teases me about it.
Pap. Can you say it the right way?
I don't say pap.
Say out of pap. No? Okay. No, half empty on any flavor other than original classic Coke. Cherry Coke tastes like cough medicine to me. I can't stomach it, so I can't imagine some spiced concoction, which I couldn't even follow all the flavors you just mentioned, Drew. So no.
Raspberry
no.
And something else. Yeah. All right.
And spices. No. Half empty. Please don't do that, people.
All right. Next story. This is reporting from the New York Times. On Thursday, Australia's Senate passed a bill that will allow workers to ignore calls that come outside working hours without repercussions. Are you half full or half empty?
I saw
this. Wow, that's a law?
By law.
I feel like I can't really weigh in on this without like triggering the, like, are you for or against less government regulation? I will say that I'm half full on employees being given a pass to ignore after hours calls, because that just really is tough. Like, especially if it's your boss, you feel like you can't really ignore it. And I've had some sleepless nights because of calls like that. So I'm half full on the concept.
Were you working here?
I don't know
at
if
the
it's
time?
The government's job. Oh, I can't say that, Nova.
Really? So you're for it, but you maybe not as a law.
Well, I don't know if government if a federal law is the right solution.
How
would
you enforce that?
I'm not going to.
Maybe through.
I don't know. I think companies should just say, look, we're not going to do this to you people unless it's an emergency.
Yeah. I think it's a good law. Because because there are plenty of employers out there who won't do the right thing unless they're compelled. We know this. We have a National Labor Relations Board for this, and we have a bunch of labor laws. I think it's a interesting experiment that Australia is doing. I think it's a sign of the times, the post-pandemic times, when we're kind of reassessing our relationship with work in some ways. And the
Absolutely.
Idea that there should be a turn off, you know, there should be a time where you turn the switch off, right, and do something else. And so I think it's, first of all, it's a very healthy way of working. And hopefully if it is something that is regulated, it can be implemented throughout the economy as opposed to each company having to decide, will we be at a competitive advantage or disadvantage if we do this or don't do this? If it's kind of across the board.
Well, I can hear employers saying we need the flexibility. Like, we got a business to run. This could be extremely difficult to comply with. So, I mean, I guess why we don't have to. We can just say half
full. Yeah,
because
I can see
both sides of the issue. All right, I think this is the last, right, Drew? Is this the final topic? So those of you
this
in
the
YouTube
the
chat,
topic.
You can vote in
exciting.
Our live poll. Hit it.
I'm excited.
Are you half full or half empty on people incorporating Taylor Swift into their Super Bowl bets?
I knew there was going to be a Taylor Swift question.
I knew there was going to be
a Super
Bowl
it.
Question. Like what?
All right,
Drew?
So we'll hold off on. Yeah, give us an example.
Give us
like
some examples.
Betting on who she will sit with, or what she's going to wear to the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
All right.
I saw.
Well,
a note,
I'm gonna before I weigh in. I'm just gonna say like I'm a heartbroken Ravens fan, so I just like.
Is
you
that
just got to know that about what.
That was I don't know anything about sports joke.
That was
violent. No, it was just my
Nova.
Sports. Well, I think there was some NFL official today, right? There was a quote saying something to the effect of they're so excited because Taylor Swift is bringing in all these eyeballs and interests that they legitimately don't think they would have had otherwise to this year's Super Bowl. Was that right, Drew? Did that happen today too?
I don't know about that.
You don't?
Probably.
You don't know about
I'm not,
everything?
I'm not, wasn't on the Taylor Swift beat today.
Unbelievable. What?
How did you miss it?
I know.
All right, so how...
I heard something about that.
We have 139 votes. How much more time should I give it before I put a nail in this coffin?
That sounds like enough votes.
All right. All right. I'm half empty. I'm tired of the whole thing. I'm just tired.
You're tired?
Ravens notwithstanding. I mean, you know, it's fine. If it makes it fun for people, that's great. I'm going to sit this one out. How about you, Nova?
I'm half full. We are really disagreeing today.
I am half full. I think we would be friends in real life, but like,
I know, right? Not in the show, no. I think it's a cultural moment, and it's a good thing. In a way, we're kind of bringing two cultural silos together, right? We have the kind of popular music silo that Swifties, and then you have, you know, the football fans, and the, you know, and a lot of times there is too much air between our various interests. Sometimes I think for a lot of people, I know almost nothing about football. I'll speak for myself. And so I think this is a wonderful opportunity to kind of like bring us together in a way. I think it's been a wonderful thing, this whole Taylor Swift NFL thing. It's good
well,
for
that
people.
Is
it's good for our
lovely.
Culture.
Let's
I think
just
it
lovely
is. It's really
for
nice.
You.
Plus the 49ers
all right,
are
so
in the game.
So the votes are in. I have to say the majority is with me. Drew, do you usually
really?
Read the results?
They're
or?
Usually with me. Drew, tell us. Yeah, give us the numbers.
Oh, I'm not on the YouTube. I don't
okay,
have
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh,
I yeah. forgot how this works. I usually
Someone
make Kimberly
the
do all the heavy lifting. Okay,
oh, really?
So half empty, 68%. Yeah, people. Half full, 31%. I guess more people are tired of it. Yeah, but
Last
I mean, as
week,
I said, like, have fun. It's like we all need fun. And if you're into it, I think that's great.
But why are folks not? Why are folks half empty? I don't get it. It's very.
That's for another very episode. Strange. All right, that Indeed. Is it for us today. Kai and Kimberly will be back on Monday. In the meantime, if you've got a question or comment you want to share with us, leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART, or you can email makemesmart@marketplace.org.
All right, Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Berksieger. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Our intern is Talia Menchaca.
And the team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand.
Both of those
things. Are you going to watch on Sunday, Nova?
Nah. Are you?
Nah, I think I'll go skiing.
Skiing? How nice.
I don't
where,
know.
Where?
Or something. Pennsylvania.
Ooh, I love that state.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.